Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the very first episode of Maintenance is a Drag, so thank you so much for tuning in. It means the world to my entire team. This is an independently run podcast, which means there is no production team that has done this before doing this show. We are doing this ourselves. This is a product of Mercury Stardust Media, and my team has been working endlessly to try to make this better every single week. The audio is a little bit different than it currently is during this episode. The visuals are a little bit different than it is during the episode. And everything's a little slightly not great. But we are learning every single week we are doing an episode, and there already are several that are recorded. And each week we will promise that it'll grow and we will get better because we are worth the time it takes to learn a new skill. And we're learning 10 all at once. So thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you for getting the word out and engaging with this show. That is the best way to support me right now. And I hope you enjoy the show because we sure do enjoy filming it ourselves and recording it. It is a blast to help strangers on the internet and getting to know world famous drag performers of all kinds. So thank you for tuning in. And until next time, make sure to fix that thing that's broken. I said my catchphrase already. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
A bottle opener. Can she open it? She can't open it.
She can of do course. So much. She can.
Is it a twist?
Fix walls.
It's a twist.
It's a twist. It's a twist.
Mercury Stardust. She's a beacon of hope in the darkest night. Mercury Stardust. She'll teach you how to make it all right.
Hey guys, gals, and non-binary pals, thank you so much for tuning in today. What a good day to do fixy stuff. I want to say thank you so much for coming in here today. My name is Mercury Stardust. I am, in fact, the trans handy ma'am, and my pronouns are she, they. Today, we are going to be joined by an amazing drag king, someone that I've admired for a very long time and is my spouse's favorite performer. Please put your hands together to the extraordinary Landon Sider. Oh, my God. Oh my God, hi.
Hello, your theme song is so perfect for my metal hair today.
It's so perfect. Is.
Yeah, so
you got
glam.
My memo.
Yeah, and I do have a hammer in my pants just for you.
Oh, yeah, I love hammer in pants.
A lesbian who critiques masculinity for a living, I needed my detachable hammer in my pants, right?
Oh.
I love it.
I have a power drill, but it's in the bedroom. So.
Oh, you do. You know what I've wanted for a long time, Landon, is I want to get a tattoo of an impact driver and a drill between my thighs. I think that would be really funny. So when people are like,
it would be funnier if I knew what an impact driver was.
Landon, you're gonna fit in. You're gonna do so good today. Okay, Landon, before we start calling people and we take in their questions and all the things, what's your experience with maintenance? Where are you at, my friend?
I am in the I love a good hardware store. But I love it because it's just a huge craft store for me. So I love the glues and the expandable foams. I do love some drill bits. But that's a different conversation for a different podcast, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
One thing that it comes up a lot in my life, especially as a lesbian with straight cis woman friends, they're constantly complaining about how straight men can never find the dial on a crescent wrench. And I want to tell you that every single lesbian will find the dial on that crescent wrench. So
I'm not going to lie. I actually have an automatic crescent wrench dial.
Oh.
So, I mean, mine works in super speed.
I am envious of your crescent wrench super speed. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of women are as well.
Yeah, I gotta say, you gotta get that designer crescent wrench, you know what I mean? Okay, Landon, all that being said, do you want to call people and help them with their things?
I do. I'm happy to have you correct everything that I say incorrectly. And I'm happy to learn as much as I can today.
We're learning every single day, my friend. So let's learn together, okay?
Awesome.
Let's play the first voicemail and go to that handyman hotline.
My name is Hannah, and my pronouns are she, hers, and you are going to love my issue. I have watched all of your videos trying to figure out what I can do about this little dent I punctured in my ceiling. How do you puncture a dent in your ceiling, you might ask? A stripper pole is how. So it's not, I didn't screw it in. It is technically renter-friendly, but because it's a tension pole, I did overturn it and I punched into the ceiling. So only a little bit. The ceiling's still intact. You could see a little bit of a shadow. So how would you fix it? I've seen some of your videos, obviously, and I'm thinking maybe like a Presto patch. I'm not sure if you would fill the whole space with like a plaster or a caulk. Maybe it'd be too heavy. Because once again, this isn't a full hole in the ceiling.
Yeah.
It's just a punch in the ceiling. It's kind of a dick. I knew that you would be the person to go to, and I can't wait to hear back. Thank you, Mercury.
That is a perfect problem to have. I'm so excited.
That is so good.
That exists in the world.
That is honestly, my spouse had a pole in our living room for like years. I know exactly what this problem is. So let's give Hannah a call. Hey, Hannah, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing so good. Thank you for asking such a good question.
Yes, thank you.
So first
and
foremost,
I'm glad you guys enjoy it.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, your misery is my joy.
Mine too.
All that being said, has anything changed? Has the hole gotten bigger? Has anything gotten worse?
Nope, the hole is the same. So we can thank it for being consistent at least.
Unlike any boyfriend I've ever had.
So many jokes about holes. So many jokes about holes.
So many. I'm trying my best to be appropriate.
Just
be clear.
It is a dent.
It's a dent. It's a dent. Okay. So how big is the dent?
So that's the thing. For what it lacks in depth, it makes up for in width. It is 9 inches wide.
Stop, Hannah!
Wow.
But
that
you
is
can't
girthy.
Hannah!
That is girthy.
Okay. Hannah, have you worked with any like drywall material, any patches before?
No, the most I've done is used like caulk to fill in little holes and corners and stuff.
I'm familiar with caulk as well. I'm familiar with caulking front doors, back doors, and leaving my tools behind so they can caulk themselves when I'm gone.
I'm going to tell you this right now. This is one job, Landon, where I don't advise using cock. Okay.
Okay.
I am going to advise to use something called joint compound. Are you familiar with that, Hannah?
I am. I remember it from some of your videos.
Good. That's a great start. Joint compound is basically like pancake batter. Okay. And here's the thing about joint compound. It's basically more affordable than any of those other things that people are going to suggest. They're always going to say, get this kind of spackle, get that kind of spackle, get the pink stuff, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is joint compound is actually really cheap. You can buy it by pint, quart, gallon. Okay. And you'll be able to get like a quart size one for like $3 or $4. And it's the stuff that we use when we install drywall. So it's literally the stuff that professionals will be using. And the best part about it is that it's very strong. Once it dries, and it does take a while to dry, it's very, very strong. Okay. So, and it's really easy to work with. So what you're going to want to get is some size of joint compound. Okay. And I would advise to get drywall, like a container of some kind. You know, I'll use like a drywall tray and then a joint knife. A joint knife is just a fancy term to say a putty knife, okay? But about 6 inches. You get those three things that are going to run you a total. I know, Landon. I know what I said. Landon, I know what I said, Landon.
6 inches. I mean, isn't that like the nation's average for a putty knife?
I mean, yeah, it is. Honestly, I know we're joking, but it is the average length of a putty knife, okay? But all that being said, it's going to run you a total of probably $16 to get everything you need, okay? And if you get plastic versions of the tools I'm suggesting, that's good enough for this job, okay? You don't need to get fancy. Did you say you live in a rental?
I do, yes.
Yeah, no one's going to flip and notice.
Yeah.
You know, no one's gonna. So you get that joint compound and then you put it into this tray you're gonna get, and then you just put a little bit of water at a time and you just stir it in. And what you're doing is just making it look like pancake batter. Don't eat it and don't cook it, but it looks like it could be used that way. And then you just smear it on. And then it's all about trial and error, because the greatest thing about joint compound is if you mess it up, you can just take a wet rag and clean it off before it dries, and you're good to go. It's the easiest stuff to work with. And like we do with everything, Landon, we overcomplicate everything, and usually men are involved.
Oh, yes.
No, for real.
Yes,
because
for
even
real.
With the... Even if you're someone who doesn't like dust, Hannah, if you have like a dust allergy or, you know, if anything around those lines, you don't even need to put dust in the air, because that wet rag, after it's all dried, you can wipe away the edges and wipe it down and it will actually take it off, because it's almost like clay before you cure it. That's basically what you're doing. You're basically using clay. And then you want to make sure that when you apply it, you make sure that your hand is like holding it to distribute the weight of the knife that you're using evenly. And if you do that with all of it, like basically just a wide stance with your hand on the blade, you'll do a great job. And if it doesn't look good the first time, just redo it until it looks good. Does that make sense, Hannah?
Yeah, so I am wondering, does that create the same texture? Like, so I have a knockdown kind of texture on the ceiling. Would it match the rest of it?
This is such a good, you know, honestly, this job might be even easier for you then. Because here's a great thing about joint compound. Because you can just like throw it up there and then take like a rag or a sponge and just hit it. And then it'll dry in that texture. Yeah, like it literally, awesome. And the thing is, if it doesn't look right, you can just keep trying until it looks right. Because joint compound can always be taken down. Like it's so easy. One, the thing that will make it impossible is once it fully dries and then you paint it, and then it becomes like, you're out of luck, honey. You know what I mean? But before that process, you're good to go. And you might not even need to match it totally, depending on how big this dent is, like paint wise. You could just use primer and it might look just fine up there.
Yeah, that sounds way easier than what I was expecting. And I feel so much better about it now.
No, and here's the thing. And if none of that works, there is one more backup plan. And that is, you can get Holmex is this wonderful company that makes spray on texture now. And this was not something. Yeah, Holmex is. Yeah, Holmex. Oh my God.
With
honestly,
just making sure. I want to clarify. Yeah. With the proper items when they go shopping, you know.
Well, let me make sure that I'm saying it right. It is Holmex Max. It's great for the stripper pole, is what I'm trying to say.
Holmex usually is great for the
stripper pole.
Exactly.
Home is where the stripper pole. Stop, you two. Stop. I'm trying to run a wholesome podcast.
You came with the wrong person.
I know, for real. But all that being said, if it doesn't work that way, right, if it doesn't look perfect to you, you can get Holmex spray on texture, and they sell a knockdown texture spray. And I think it's like $9 to $10. It's pretty affordable. All you got to do is make sure you're like 20 inches away when you spray it and shake it really well beforehand, and you should be good to go.
Awesome. That sounds great.
Okay, good. Does this help? Does this sparkle with you?
Yes. I cannot wait to have a fully intact ceiling again.
Oh, I can't wait. And if this works, first of all, please call me and let me know. Okay. I want to see it. If it does not work, you blame it on Land Insider.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
That sounds good. Yeah. That sounds fine.
Always blame the guy. Blame the men. Blame the men.
Hannah, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you so much for everything.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so glad I shared all my knowledge with you.
You shared all your knowledge when it comes to the average putty size. I really... Uh-huh.
You're
I really appreciate you. Take care, Hannah. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. How long have you been performing, Landon?
15 years. Well, drag. Doing drag for 15. I've been performing since I was little, getting on stages and
I did
around.
Burlesque for 16 years. So look at us. We're just a bunch
look
of old
us.
Fogies.
At we this are point. So old.
I remember when we used to be performers and you could like, you know, go to open mics and like perform and like mm-hmm. There was no one doing the kind of things that you and I were doing probably back in the day.
Probably
and now
not,
there's like drag kings and burlesque dancers everywhere now.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it's what a wild experience. I remember being the only person at the time who was presenting as male and performing as a boy on stage. I was doing drag shows and burlesque shows as the only boy because there wasn't anyone doing that like 10, 15 years ago.
It's
and now
crazy.
Look, yeah, you throw a nickel and you can hit a boylesker.
For sure. Yeah. My best friend is a boylesker. So yeah, trans-mass boylesker. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Okay, all that being said, today is a good day, and every day is a good day to drink yourself a good root beer. And in honor of you, Landon, I went and got a root beer called Dad's Old Fashioned Root
Beer. Talking about old things.
I feel like since people probably call you a good daddy, I want to make sure that you got a daddy root beer.
I'm here for it. I do get called daddy all the time, but I don't get enough Father's Day gifts, so I'm pissed off about it, but it's
okay.
Dude,
you know, here's the thing about gender that's so weird. I love when my partners call me daddy. I love it. I know folks have that like aversion reaction to it, but I love being called daddy. I always think of myself as like a femme daddy. Do you know what I mean?
I can see that for you. I can see that for
you.
Yeah,
right? Me in overalls and nothing else.
It's about power. It's unfortunately still connected to the patriarchy, but yeah, it's about power. Yeah.
All that being said, there's nothing more wonderful with me for me than holding a toy in overalls and nothing else and just saying, are you ready? I think that's the hottest thing.
I thought we were doing a wholesome podcast, man.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Going on here.
I forgot. Exit. Edit it in post. Being a handy person, I always got to come overly prepared. And here is a power tool that I definitely do not need more of. Like this is too much for me. So
that is,
here
that's
we go.
A lot. That's a lot.
We're going to open it. This is too much of a bottle opener. Can she open it? She can't open it.
She can do so much. She can.
Is it a twist?
Fix walls.
It's a twist.
It's a twist.
You know, Landon, I'm really good at my job.
I can see that.
Okay, I'm gonna taste it, and we're gonna let you know how
you
how,
taste
how
my good daddy it. Juice. Taste my daddy.
I'm gonna
juice.
Date. I'm. You know, this was supposed to be a wholesome podcast.
Well, that's out the window. Is it creamy? Is my daddy juice creamy?
It's very creamy. I would say you produce the most creamy daddy juice that I have ever had. And if there's ever any children listening, they aren't anymore. Okay, I think we're gonna listen to more calls. You ready?
I am ready.
Hi, Mercury. My name is Harry. My pronouns are they, them. And I was wondering, I have a thermostat, a digital thermostat in my home, and it says change UV lamp. And I've never heard of that. So I would like to know what that means and how I can change it.
Landon, have you ever heard of a UV lamp in someone's HVAC system?
No. If I hadn't heard that voicemail right now and you said the word HVAC system, I would have stopped you right there.
Do you know what an HVAC is? Do you know what that means? No. Basically, here's the short term. Someone's going to yell at me in the comment section. But HVAC, basically, they do. They will find a way. Exactly. Also, as a professional, I should know exactly what HVAC means. But this is what I'm going to say right now. My team is going to look up what HVAC stands for, and they're going to tell me in a second. But I'm going to tell you what HVAC is. An HVAC is about cooling and heating. That's what HVAC is. Okay. So that's basically all it is. And there's a newer thing happening now where people are installing like a UV lamp to clean the air, essentially. And UV lamps, yeah, we'll get into it in a second, but this opens up a whole bunch of things. So many questions are running through my head about this, so we have to call. So let's give them a call and see where they're at, okay?
Sounds good to me.
Hey, Ari, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing so good. So you have a UV lamp in your HVAC system problem, huh?
Yes, I do. Unfortunately.
HVAC. Heating.
Ventilation.
Air
conditioning.
Air conditioning. Sure.
I didn't.
I don't know. We Googled it before we called you, Ari.
No, I didn't. No, we didn't. I just knew that.
Yeah, you just knew it. We knew it. We definitely just randomly knew that. No, I'm going to tell you right now, Ari, this is a really new issue. The air is going to come through that ventilation system, and it's going to be hit by that UV lamp, and it's going to kill bacteria. That's the whole premise of what a UV lamp is supposed to do. So it's supposed to basically, purify the air, right? An air purifier. Now, does this work? Does it work is a question we're going to get asked a lot. I found research from Columbia University, and I got to tell you, it does sound like there is evidence that this does work for most bacteria. And some have even suggested that it works for COVID-19. All of that being said, this has been in the works for the last decade or so, but it hasn't really been largely on the market. Okay. So this is something pretty new. Is this a rental or is this a property you own?
It's a home.
How long have you lived there, my friend?
I've lived here for about 3 months.
Yep. There you go. This has been freshly installed for you then. Anytime that you have any type of appliance or any type of thing that's new, okay, this is what you should all do. You should look up, like, find the part number if you can, and then look up the brand, the make and model of it. You might find the manual somewhere, and it will kind of walk you through the uniqueness of that said thing. So same thing with microwaves, same things with refrigerators and dishwashers and garbage disposals and all of that stuff. It's going to tell you a lot more than what I can as someone who doesn't know the specific make and model, because all of it is going to be specific. Okay. Where do you find the model number is a great question. Thank you for asking, Mercury.
Not where you think. Not where you think.
Honestly, Landon, true.
I figured, because why would you ask that to yourself?
And honestly, Landon, I am so proud of you right now. You can usually either take the cover off, or you can like open a part of the cover up, and inside there should be some number, something there, like a serial number, anything. Usually if you Google the make and then whatever numbers you can find, you'll find a manual somewhere. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I kind of just ripped it off the wall.
I do admire you for being confident enough to rip it off the wall.
I know.
I mean,
I've done this before.
Go right in.
Well, that being said, now there's another real possibility, okay, that the thermostat could be equipped to handle a UV lamp, but you don't have a UV lamp in your system. There's a chance that could be it. The lamp looks kind of like one of those old long, elongated bulbs. Do you know what I mean?
Do they sell those light bulbs like just at a hardware store? You have to specialty order them.
I think right now, not a lot of hardware stores actually have them. I looked it up last night on like my local hardware store, and they didn't have it in inventory. So I do think this right now is an HVAC thing. I do think you want to call up an HVAC specialist, maybe talk to them and have some feedback and kind of see what they think. You know, a lot of times you can get a free quote, and if they go come out and take a quote and take a look at what it is, maybe they'll even tell you while they're out there, oh, hey, you know, it's just the light bulb. It's just this lamp that you got to replace, and here's a part number kind of thing. Does that make sense?
But if you do have someone come over, follow them everywhere and see where the stuff is that they're looking at. So that way you'll learn where the filter system is. So that way you can see the C on your own if the light bulb is in there or not. Like, follow them so you can learn where the stuff is too.
Yes. I always say hover on the contractors, right? And once they're doing their work and stuff, you can always ask them, hey, you know, do you want me to leave, or do you want some, you know, time? All that stuff is fine, but it's your home and it's their time and you're paying for their time. So it's okay to like mine information and knowledge from contractors. I highly suggest it, to be honest. And a lot of times they'll tell you what's going on. They might even be able to look at the system and tell you right out of the gate, oh yeah, you don't have this. And that's all you need to know, basically.
Okay.
But that being said, it does not mean that the system isn't working at all. It just means that your air isn't being purified through that lamp is all it means. Okay.
Okay.
I hope that helps you. Does that help you?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. It does.
God, I'm happy. Landon, do you think I did a good job?
I think you did a great job. I think you did.
Good. I need a pick me up from that one.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Ari.
Thank you so much.
Hope you get your air
Thank
clean,
you, Mercury.
Ari.
Take care, Ari.
Thank
yeah,
you
what
so
a great
much.
Name. How did I not make that joke until now?
Are you going to make it? I made it.
You made it. Way to go, Landon. Okay, take care, Ari. Bye-bye.
You as well. Bye.
What do you feel about your air? How is your air quality over there?
I live in a big major city right by a very busy road, so my air is filthy.
Oh, good.
Filthy. Yeah.
I mean, just like our mouths.
Yeah, even when I was growing up, we used to have smog alerts all the time in where I live, and where we weren't allowed as children to go to school that day or to play outside because the air quality of that particular day was so bad. So in the morning news, it would tell you, all right, our smog alert system is at this level today, so your kids can play, or having a smog alert, don't let your kids play outside today.
I gotta tell you that I don't know enough about the UV lamps to tell people if they should do it or not, but I do know enough about regular filter systems. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you right now that what I know is that when we're dealing with filter systems, it's called MERV, MERV is kind of the term that we use when we're classifying kind of filters. Mm-hmm. And when we're dealing with anything above a MERV 13, we'll clean the air pretty properly. It's what we were using largely across the country with a larger HVAC systems during COVID-19. Okay. Because MERV was small enough, it has small enough openings to prevent those particles from coming through, but not everything.
right? Yeah. And that's kind of what to you benefit what you're saying, right? Now, the UV lamps, not positive how that all works. That is honestly, everyone should do their own research when it comes to what makes them feel comfortable in their own home. Mm-hmm. But especially when we're dealing with smog, it's becoming more of an issue across the country when it comes to smog and our air quality. Even here in tropical Madison, Wisconsin, we now have air alerts on a regular basis for playgrounds and et cetera as well for schools. Yeah. So it's becoming more of an issue everywhere. And I think it's good for us to be good consumers and understand what the MERV system is and when it comes to our home. So I advise a MERV 13 and above, make sure that every system is going to be a little bit different. If you don't have an HVAC system that is designed for that, you could be actually hurting the system to make it work too hard to get through the filter.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We watched your whole episode, the whole season. Back when we used to watch Dragula a lot, we don't really watch Dragula as much anymore, but like, we watched every single episode, and I kept remembering, like, oh, man, if Landon wins this, that's going to be fucking crazy. But there's no way Landon's going to win this. Drag Kings don't win shit. And I remember each episode getting closer and closer to the reality that it might happen. How did it feel for you, Landon?
Incredible. I mean, I feel like it was, like, not easy for me, but it was, like, to me, it was like the obvious decision.
in your season.
When I look back at it, and I look back, like in the moment, I had a lot of like self-doubt and stress and pressure and so much that was clouding my vision of what the perception would be. So I was just so focused and so nervous and so in my head about everything. And even when it was airing, I was still not like really seeing the outside perspective. Years later, I can look back and really think about it and being like, yeah, that seems right. That's right. That's how it should have gone. Mm-hmm, for sure.
I will never forget when you were the werewolf. I'll never forget. Yeah. That was one of the most terrific looks I've ever seen from any drag performer. And every stereotype that has ever been uttered about drag kings, you have destroyed and then some.
That's kind of my goal. That's how I do it. When I first started to see that I was gaining respect from like my peers and audiences and stuff, I still would hear and you can never not listen to the haters, right? You can choose not to listen to them. They're still going to hear them. You may not listen, but you're going to hear them. And I would hear critiques here and there, or even like on videos that would be posted, the people talking in the background next to the camera that didn't know that you could hear them, their little, it's a drag king, I don't know. Like you can just hear their anticipation already hating before I even stepped on stage, you know, that's assumptions made. So I would take all of the list, I made myself a mental list of all of the things that people would say against me because I'm a drag king. Drag kings don't do this, they don't do that, they don't do that, they don't do that. This long list of things, and I made it a checklist. And I would be like, well, I'm gonna take that off the list. You can't say kings don't wear wigs. You can take the lat, they don't wear enough makeup. They don't put enough into unique costuming. They're not performers, they're not this, they're not that. I just took everything off the list so that if they still didn't like me It's because either they just don't like my drag, which is fine. You don't have to like my drag. I don't like every other type of drag or every drag performer style of drag either. Or they're just being misogynist because of the patriarchy. It's like, those, either you just don't like my drag or you just, you have an outside reason. And it's not always because they just don't like my drag. They just have outside.
It sounds like a lot of the style that you developed was largely because of the way that people were projecting their own image of what drag kings must be on you. Like they it was almost like your style came from this like proving ground. Like I'm going to prove that I need to take up space.
Exactly. And that's such a woman in a man's world type of thing to do. We have to always prove ourselves constantly over and over and over and over and over again that we deserve to take this space or have that position or be this boss or have that job. But constantly, you don't just get the job and you're like, I'm here, everyone respects me, like the guy would. You have to constantly be proving yourself over and over again. And I still get horrible messages and comments on my stuff and even from old like people from that just aren't ready for change and push back on change. As you know, you're in, especially living in it off the binary and being proud of you living off of that binary and speaking about it as much as you do. People are so attached to the binary, even our own community and the old school reality of it. I even have old like drag kings from the 80s. Well, that kind of back in the day, drag kings didn't do all that color and all that. You're just way too feminine for my kind of style of drag. And it's like, cool. How many drag shows do you go to these days? Probably none. You're not supporting the drag community anymore. So your point is invalid. If you're not supporting somehow, whether it's at a show in real life, or online by likes and comments and shares, you're not supporting. So I don't really care what you have to say anyway.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Speak, scream from the top of the rooftops. I appreciate you being here. Now, are you ready for the next call with me?
I am, yes.
Let's do it.
You've reached the Handyman Hotline. All our operator is currently assisting other customers. She might be one heck of a lady, but she's only one lady, after all. While you're waiting, why don't you pick up something to read? Actually, you know what? Settle down. I'll read you something myself. All right. How about this? A name is kind of like a comfortable pair of walking shoes. It will be a lifelong companion if sturdily constructed, and after a while it may become nearly unnoticeable if it's a good fit. Lots of people change their names for reasons having nothing to do with gender. Choosing a name is a highly individual matter and can be done with a sense of joy and integrity. Think of the person you are inside and try giving him a name that would feel good. Maybe it's John Lennon's first name because you looked up to him as an adolescent. Maybe it's your dad's name or somebody else you always liked a lot. Who knows? A name is a name is a name is a name. But it's your name, just the same. Riveting stuff and very good advice from writer Kevin Horowitz. But what if I were to tell you that little snippet there wasn't a Tumblr post, but it was newsprint from 1988. FTM International, originally just FTM, was founded in 1986 in San Francisco by Lou Sullivan, an author and activist who helped usher in the concept of sexuality being different from gender identity. The FTM newsletter started being published quarterly in 1987 and had 67 issues printed before it went the way of the other newsprint dinosaurs in 2008. But what a publication! It had articles, it had personal ads, it had comics, and most importantly, it had resources. Trans men from all over the world wrote in to let their fellow dudes know where they'd hit the jackpot, whether that meant finding a therapist that actually listened to them, scoring testosterone on the cheap, or even just coming across a good pair of manly shoes, darling. It's just so hard to find a good Oxford in a men's six, you know? It's true that community blossomed in the age of the internet, but let's not give Reddit credit for inventing the wheel. The foundation for these communities was laid down way before we came along, y'all. And the FTM newsletter was finding its readers the old-fashioned way, one copy at a time. If you found this interesting, check out the GLBT Historical Society website's digital collection of FTM International newsletters. They have archived records from 1987 to 1992. That's glbthistory.org. And as the boss lady likes to say, you're worth the time it takes to learn a little history. Here's Mercury.
Hi, Mercury. My name's Sarah McConnell from Oregon. I just bought a house with my wife a few years ago. Yay, we're no longer renters. But we have one really weird problem that we can't figure out. We've got rolling closet doors in our master bedroom. Two of them manage to stay on their track, but one of them falls off of its track and does that annoying thing that big mirrored doors do when they fall off their track, and they clunk, clunk. They almost lose our toes, scares the pants off my wife every time it happens.
That's a good
thing. We cannot
figure
out how to get it to stay on. Do you have any idea how to help us? Thanks so much. We love you. Have a good day. Be fabulous.
I will be fabulous.
Cute.
What a fabulous question, too.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, Sarah was not able to be reached during this call. But that being said, I can answer this question still. Okay. Now, the first thing I'm going to say right out of the gate here, Landon, is that you can find out this answer in my book, Safe and Sound, A Renter's Friendly Guide to Home Repair by Mercury Stardust.
Oh, that's good to know. Not the knockoff ones that people were selling.
Yeah, not
with.
The fake copies.
One. Yeah.
There are so many fake copies of my
that's
book.
So
it's wild.
Gross. It's
we
so
live
gross.
We live in an era of the AI generative book era now, and just don't go to Amazon and buy your books. Buy your books through bookshop.org.
Which
or,
is so, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But
it's
I will
so
say
ironic.
This.
It's so ironic since Amazon started off as an online bookstore. And now you can't even trust them to buy your books from them anymore.
Well,
it's
here's the
horrible.
Sad truth. So much of the market is saturated by Amazon that I'm told I'm not even supposed to say that. I'm so, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to because I'm me. I do want to do what I want.
Yeah, that's right.
but like 90% of all my book sales, and remember, I'm a number one New York Times bestselling author, okay? 90% of all my book sales last year came from Amazon. But we were still number one on Barnes & Noble for a week, number one on bookshop.org, and all of that stuff. But we were still, that's how many books on a daily basis are being sold on Amazon.
That's
it's
so crazy.
Wild.
Yeah.
But all of that being said, there, if you get my book from bookshop.org or an independent bookstore near you,
yes.
You can find out this answer. Okay. This is a really wonderful, this is actually kind of one that you won't get most other places because this is more like a hack rather than a fix. So, do you know what a set screw is? If I said a set screw, do you know what that is, Landon?
That sounds like when you've been married for long enough, you have to schedule in your screws.
I love you. But that being said, you're right, but not about this.
Okay.
I will say that a set screw is basically to hold things in place. That's all it is. That's an essential idea. If you go to any doorknob right now and you look in the side of the doorknob, you'll eventually find a little screw or a little pin or something that is holding things in place. And that is called a set screw, okay? What we're going to do with this sliding door, or the sliding mirror rather, is make ourselves a set screw. And you're going to go in there, and where the railing is, right, where the railing is, you are going to install a little bit of a self-tapping screw. Now, in my book, it's going to give you the exact measurements and all that stuff. I even did a video online about it, too. So if you don't want to spend the money, you don't have to. You can go on YouTube and find out.
I think to find a video on the self-tapping screw, you have to go on OnlyFans.
No. Stop! But you're right. But you're wrong about this. All that being said, though, you can basically just strategically place a screw in a place that is going to, like, if you go inside of the rail of where everything holds, you can put a screw in there that will prevent it from going off. Of the rail. Does that make sense, Landon?
That makes sense. Yeah, like a check.
Yeah, you're going to see it in my video, and you're going to see it in the book, and it'll show you properly and how it works. But
all you're going to do, and it's going to be a $3 fix. If you have a drill, it's a $3 fix. It's so quick and easy, and it's life-changing. And honestly, if you want to go one further, take those that railing off and replace this whole thing together with a triple bypass door. So a triple bypass is basically a sliding door mechanism that will go in they have like instead of a normal sliding door where you have like one big opening and it can the wheels can fall off that said opening, you have a triple bypass that has two railings on either side that make it impossible for it to come off its rails. It won't come off, and they're really easy to install. I mean, this is like a 30-minute job, and anybody can do it. It comes with instructions and everything, so I highly recommend just upgrading to something that is going to be a lot more friendly, A, to your closet mirrors, but B, to your feet. You know what I mean? And that should help. So I hope that helps this person, but I hope that actually helps anyone else who's listening.
Yeah. That sounds like great advice.
Yeah. No, not too bad, right? It's almost like I know a thing or two.
That's crazy. Who are you? Who the fuck?
Look at me. Okay. All that being said, are we ready to call the last person, Landon?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let's get to it.
Hi, my name is Linda. I use she, her pronouns. Recently, my apartment building had a huge leak. Or a huge flood, rather, from a pipe that burst in the building. It caused a lot of flooding that damaged a lot of units. Mine wasn't too bad, but I was at a loss for what to do first. So do you have any tips for how to deal with a flooding situation? Because sometimes you don't have time for the maintenance guy to come address it, and you need to do something right then and there. Thanks.
Have you ever had this kind of thing happen to you, Landon?
No, and it's like a nightmare to have all your stuff soaking, and universe knows what's in those pipes and where that pipe came from, and
We had a very good friend, a very good friend of mine in real life named Lumi, last year had this happen. I think the New Year's Day last year, 2023, and it was a disaster. So often what happens in these scenarios is that, if you don't know where the water shut off is, and this is really important. I mean, we should know where the water shut off in our apartments are, and, you know, in individual rooms, if there is access to it. Down in the basement, oftentimes you'll have that. Even at apartment buildings, you might be able to find a shut off. Anything like that is important to know when you first move into the space, right? We've joked about this in the studio, but you could sell a whole book off of, what is happening right now? And here are all the emergency things you should do right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it is a panic. It is absolutely a panic. So all that being said, do you want to call this person and see what we can do?
Yeah, I would love to see what you can do, because I have no idea.
Cool. I would like to see what I'm going to do too. Let's do it. Please. Linda, how's it going?
Hello, I am good. How are you?
I'm doing so good. Thank you for asking such a really good question. Also, kind of one that makes everyone who's listening terrified.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, has anything changed since you called us?
Well, I mean, for now, everything seems to be fine, I think, at least for my unit. I managed to stop up all the flooding. The crisis is over for me anyways. Some of my neighbors are a different story. But the main thing is, like, when it happened, I wasn't quite sure what all was important for me to do or keep in mind, especially since there was flooding coming in through the walls, and I was worried about like outlets and heating elements and things like that.
Do you have renter's insurance, by the way?
I do. They require it in my building.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm happy that that's the case. And I hope you are getting progress in that field. Sometimes, especially this one, especially burst pipes, can be such a pain in the butt with insurance companies.
I'm not even sure what to do insurance wise. Like
have you called your insurance company yet?
Not yet, but I probably should.
Oh, you should. You should. You should absolutely call, because here's the thing. You want to get people on your side, right? And this might be a claim that comes from the building and the property management companies all together, but you should get the information and you should mine as much information from the insurance company as possible and start putting the ducks in a row just in case. Because what happens a lot of times is that they're going to try to find who's to blame, right?
Right.
Now, installation mm-hmm. or the lack of preventative maintenance is actually to be blamed.
Yeah. And it's kind of hard in this case too, because I think there's been a lot of pipes bursting in where I live because there's a cold snap right now and the temperatures are lower than, these buildings were built for.
Oh yeah. Where do you live? Where do you live, Linda?
I'm in Seattle. So it's historically we've not gotten very cold winters. We do now.
Yeah. What's the temperature right now in Seattle?
Right now isn't too bad. It's in the 30s, but when this happened, they were it was 15 degrees or something.
That's so crazy that you think that's cold.
No, I know. See, I'm from Chicago, so I know what real cold is, been here for long enough. And I know that it isn't that cold here.
I'm in Wisconsin, where the last 3 days we've had -5 to -10 degree weather.
Oh, no, I know.
So I don't hear a negative in front of this temperature, and I'm immediately, ooh, that's summer.
I'm in Southern California, so.
Oh, wow, really? What's your temperature right now, Landon?
Oh, it's so cold. It's 50 degrees.
I want you to die. That is wild. I was in San Diego a month or so ago, and it was 70 degrees there, and people were in sweatshirts. And I was what are we doing? What
sweatshirts
is this?
Sweatshirts and shorts. Sweatshirts, shorts, and sandals.
Yeah, that's absolutely
nuts. That's a Southern California winter outfit.
People were freezing with winter coats on in 60 degree weather, and I am sweating. I was sweating.
Yeah.
Okay, back on the topic at hand. Okay, so you're asking a really good question, and I want to make sure we get to that full question, but also I want to make sure you're okay. And it sounds like you're in a good place. I'm gonna say right now, before we get too deep in this. Has any maintenance technician been in your rental or anything like that yet? Have they checked out your space entirely?
No, they haven't. It's strange. Well, part of it is I think
that
maintenance has just been busy. No, they haven't. I think they've been busy checking on the other units that are affected more. I've been talking to them because I run into them on the property a lot because I work from home. So I'm just here all the time. And, I told them that there was some flooding in the bathroom and that was about it. So maybe they just decided I wasn't important. I don't know.
Linda, are you on the top or are you in the bottom of the unit?
I'm on the bottom. So So that's the thing is that the burst happened on a top floor and it all flowed down to where I am.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you right now. Now, I'm not in this building, so I couldn't tell you exactly what I would be concerned with. But as a maintenance technician, I'm going to tell you right now, people would be crazy not to check your unit. Reason why is because mold, my friends. By the time, here's the thing about mold, especially black mold. You won't see it until it's too late. And this is what people don't get. When you see it, you've already been breathing it for months. For months.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Especially when you start having this problem, it's really hard to get rid of mold unless you get you literally rip out the drywall and put a new in. Trying to get people to actually do that work can take months so many people involved in order to get mold mitigation is such it's a whole cottage industry is mold mitigation now in the United States. It's such a wild thing.
Yeah.
if this is the case, I would hope they take a look and maybe take a look at the inside of your walls and kind of see where it's at. And at the very least, you should still have like dehumidifiers in your space running.
That was the thing that they mentioned, is that they were going to try to get dehumidifiers running, at least in the hallways, and I haven't seen them. I don't know what's going on.
That should already be running. Those dehumidifiers should have been on day one, maybe night one. And
yeah,
a lot of,
like,
it, because
the main thing is, they had they brought in like a water extraction crew, but I haven't really seen anything else besides that.
Yeah, and again, I don't know what their plan is, and they're going to know their building better than me, but I always do get really suspicious of this idea that they're not immediately in there with giant fans and dehumidifiers. If that isn't your first response to anything with a flood, even if you're not the one who's the recipient of the largest part of the water, I do think it's a little suspicious of that.
The largest part of the water is the unit directly across the hallway from me. They were hit the worst, and I haven't seen anything
along those lines
for them either.
That might be one of the reasons why they didn't go to you right away. You know what I mean? Their resources could be tapped so much that they're going to try to get to you as soon as they can, but they might just be tapped. You know what I mean? But all that being said, what does someone do if this happens in real time? Okay. The first thing you want to do is open up every faucet and try to make sure you relieve the pressure itself. And then the next thing you should do is immediately start the drying process. And this is where you get the big fans. This is when you get the dehumidifiers. And then the third thing, and the thing that you should still do, is get insurance involved. And the sooner you have it, the better. Okay. And if you don't have renter's insurance, to anyone who's listening, I would get renter's insurance, especially if we're talking about, like, if you live in a colder climate, you should have it. You should really have it, especially with a lot of renter's insurance.
A climate that is suddenly cold when it didn't used to be.
Yeah, like now that's happening a lot in Texas. I've been recommending this to a lot to people who have been followers of mine in Texas. You know, their systems aren't always necessarily prepared for this, especially their like electrical system isn't able to handle the high demand of all that heat going into people's homes for, you know, like all at once. That could be a lot. All of that being said, those are the things I would do right away. Now, knowing where the shutoffs are really important. So in a rental, even having like, if this was in a bathroom and this was like you had a flood from your toilet or something, knowing where the shutoff from that is important.
That happened like the week before, and I learned that tip about turning off the faucet from your book.
Oh, really? Good. I would say this. When you first move into a place, when you first move in everywhere, there's two things you should know. To an apartment, when you first move into a home, or you first move into a manufactured home, whatever it is, you should know where the main shutoff water is, the individual shutoff parts of your actual rooms, and you should know where the power sources are. Because things are going to happen. They're just going, life happens sometimes and it comes unexpectedly. And better safe than sorry. Now, what do you do in trying to spot this before it happens? I Googled this before I called you, Linda. And I'm not going to lie, I found out some of this information from allstate.com. So you know it's good when an insurance company is like, please don't let us lose money, do these things. These are some really good ideas, though. I love them. If there is little to no water pressure from your sinks, showers, and faucets, it could be a burst pipe waiting to happen. If there is frost buildup on any exposed pipes, if there's damp sections of drywall, carpet, and ceilings, that's a really good one. But here's the thing. If there's damp sections of drywall and carpet and ceilings, you are really close to something bad happening. Like if you're going up to your wall and then both the wall and the carpet is soaked, you need to call right now. And I don't call insurance. You call like the fire department. If you're not able to get a hold of an emergency plumber, often we're not. A lot of people who are in the fire department will have emergency shutoff, you know, information when it comes to plumbing and when it comes to electrical stuff. So in a worst case scenario, that is who you can call. Like, I think my pipe is going to burst. I don't know what to do. They will come over, and at least you'll have someone else in your home who might be able to take care of it if something happens, you know? And not an end-all, be-all solution, but boy, do you feel a lot less alone when those kind of things happen. But all of that being said, in this scenario, you said it was a sprinkler system that did this, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, someone's going to lose a job. How long have you lived there for?
I've lived here like 3 years. Thing is that I've been worried about is, so it's actually been very well maintained in most of that time, but the guy who was the head of maintenance retired a couple months ago, and I was wondering if things were going to get suddenly worse.
Yeah, here's the fun thing about people who are in maintenance. Landon can maybe agree with me or disagree with me when it comes to just the drag world, but when sometimes someone leaves an industry, if they've been there for a long time, right? The power struggle is real. This is when you find out that everything was being held together with rubber bands and duct tape.
Mickey Mouse. Yeah.
I was suspecting as much.
Yeah. So I think this is a maintenance person did not do what they were supposed to do to weatherize the system, and it burst a pipe. So... And you're going to find out for me. You're going to find out. And we'll see from there.
Yeah, guess so.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. It's fun. But hey, I'm happy that you're safe. What tends to happen is that they will give you a date. They are liars if they say it's going to be done in 2 months. I'm telling you, I've heard this multiple times since I've been on the internet. I've heard this from a lot of people. People be like, oh, they told me 2 months. They're bold-faced liars. It doesn't get fixed in 2 months, hon. If there is damage in the walls and the floors and the ceilings, it will be 6 months at the best. A friend of ours last year this happened to, and it got to a point where they ended up having to find a new place after 6 months of just having this property management company drag their feet over and over and over again. I tell the people who work in these industries, when they ask me these questions, what should they do in these scenarios, put up the tenant in a different unit, in a different place, or you pay for them to leave and go somewhere else. Allow them to break the lease. Sometimes they don't even let you break the lease in these instances because they try to say it's like, you know, an act of God or whatever thing is in the contract. But it's an absolute bull crappery, and I'm not a fan of it. So, Linda, thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you take care and that everything goes well from here, okay?
Yeah, I hope so too. Thanks.
Okay, take care, Linda. Bye-bye. At least when I'm talking like this, at least they can look at your amazing, like, paint on your face right now.
And I'm, like, disassociating because, like, I have no idea what's going on. I'm like, my dog
the truth comes out. That's so funny, Landon. I just want to say I have appreciated you so much on this podcast today. Thank you for being such a good
asking me to be a part of it, and to be one of your first like guests is such an honor, so thank you.
You know, I'll say this again, Landon, you can continuously prove over and over again that drag can be for everybody and that spaces should be taken up by everybody. And it really means a lot, the work you're doing, what you're doing, and what you stand for as a performer and as a person. And I just want to remind you that I know sometimes it's really hard in the world to be who we are, but I'm so proud of you for taking up space with me. So you're a badass.
Thank you. You are too, bitch.
Oh, God, I am. All that being said, everybody, thank you for tuning into this wonderful episode of Maintenance is a Drag. I, as always, been the Trans Handyman. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, until next time, you're worth the time it takes to learn a new skill. Bye-bye, everybody. You're worth the time it takes to be you. She'll teach you how to fix your house, how to fix it by yourself. The Trans Handyman, Mercury Stardust.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.